It is my privilege to be speaking with Sviad Lazisvili, who will take on Josh Huber at the upcoming October 4th LFA. Thanks so much for doing this. And I also understand that most people call you Zico, right?
That's right.
Can you tell me, let's start off there then. Is that your nickname? How did that come about?
Actually, I don't know myself either, because, I mean, everybody calls me Zico, even my mother. I don't know, nobody calls me Sviad. It's funny.
Interesting.
But I don't remember the reason or who called me first. If my name is Zico, my second name, I don't know.
All right. Okay, so, you know, you've got a record here, and if people can look it up on Tapology, 11-0. A lot of those fights took place overseas. So before we get into, you know, LFA and you coming to the U.S. and where you train out of, et cetera, let's talk about your roots. You're from Georgia. Talk about how you got into martial arts and what led you to, you know, put you on the path to becoming a professional fighter.
I would start with that. My father is a wrestler, freestyle wrestler. He's 2 times world champion, 5 times prize winner. All my childhood, I wanted to be a sportsman, athlete, but he always pushed me to be not be an athlete. I don't know why. Maybe he had a hard time in the beginning, because in our country it was very hard to be an athlete. They don't have the financing, they don't have anything. Mm-hmm. All the time he was pushing me to just study and just don't be in a sport. But, you know, the life at that time in Georgia was, like, pretty harsh, and basically every day in the street was, like, fight. So I used to fight a lot in the street when I was a kid, though maybe it's in my blood. But like, I started very late. I was 19 when I started training. And it was just accidentally I met the guy, Kobat Kashalashvili, and he had a gym. And I just wanted to learn fighting for myself. And then I went to his gym, and I trained a couple guys, and actually one of the first guy who I fought was Merab Dwarleshvili. He's in UFC right now, second Georgian guy who is fighting in UFC. And he was like one of the first guy I sparred in there, and I got the joy, and I said, this is what I have to do. And after like maybe 4 or 5 months of training, I fought my first fight, and I had this feeling that I said, I would just try, what is it? I will fulfill my dream to compete, and that's it. I'm done sport, and I will just continue my studies. But when I felt all these feelings together, I don't know, it was like, I said, I can't live without this, you know? I mean, this is in my blood, I guess. I don't know. And I got, like, poisoned with mixed martial arts, and I just started fighting all the time. So then I was training with him. Then I moved to my friend's gym called Shota Akulashvili, and I trained there a couple of years. We fought together in Georgia, in Europe. We were in the world championship twice, in Italy and in Prague. And then I moved to Russia, in Moscow, and I trained there around 2 years with Strela Promotion under Taras Kiashko. He's a very, very experienced, one of the best coach in Russia, Alexander Volkov's coach.
Okay, yeah.
If you know, yeah. And there were like a couple of very, very good fighters, and I got a lot of experience with them. And then I moved back here in States, and I continued here. I met here Nima Mazari. I signed with them, and they are amazing people, amazing fighters, amazing coaches. I'm so happy and I'm so blessed to see these people, meet these people, and they helped me a lot in everything. So basically, that's my short story.
Yeah, no, a very interesting story. There's so much to unpack there. One thing I wanted to ask you, I know for European fighters, it can be hard sometimes getting accurate records in terms of like someone's fight record. And so when I look at Tapology, I see it looks like there's about a 4-year break from, you know, your last fight, I think, was in 2015, and now you've got your next fight. Is that accurate, Zico?
Right. So basically, when I came here, my fights were only 2 or 3 fights was registered only in mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the fights the promotions which are held in Russia or in Europe or in my country, they don't send any information to Tapology or the Sherdog or any other web pages. So even my opponents, if you look at them, they have like 0-0 records, because like me, I don't, my fight was not registered, and their fight is not registered too. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a problem, because when I came here, my coach asked me, "What's your record?" And I'm like, my record is actually 15-0. I have a 15 fight, not 11. But I mean, I said 15-0, and then they said, "Why there is not the record?" And I said, "I don't know. I mean, I don't even knew about topology back in my country."
Yeah.
So then I sent my videos and my certificates and my fight things to the topology, and they validated all my fights, and they put it my record there. But I mean, I had that problem.
Yeah, no, it's hard. So is it accurate, though, that, like, when I look at your record right now, so the last fight would have been, that's on here, 2015. So is that accurate that you haven't fought?
That's right. I stopped fighting in 2015 for some reasons, like school and some other stuff. Doesn't matter that now. But I continued later training, and this is my first fight in the last 5 years.
And sorry, what did you say you were taking in school? Excited. What were you studying in school? I'm just curious.
I was studying in Georgia too. Yeah. In Russia, I had a couple classes, and then I'm studying here too in space. I'm finishing my MBA.
Oh, nice.
Last semester left here in Bauer Atlantic University in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, school, training—it's pretty harsh, but this is what we have to do.
Mm-hmm. And I encourage people too, because you know, when I was doing some research for this interview, people should check it out, because there are some of your fights on YouTube. And one thing that struck me right away is was a very comprehensive offensive game for you. You mix in striking with wrestling, top game. Is that a fair description of kind of your approach, the very sort of overall comprehensive approach to fighting?
The thing is, to be honest, when I look back to my fights, my skills today is like maybe 10 times better than then. Because at that time, when the videos are in the fights which are in YouTube, at that time, basically, I don't had a normal coach at that time. And we were like friends and just watching YouTube and learning from YouTube and fighting from there. I mean, I never had any preparation. Or I never had a fight camp, or I mean, I never knew even my opponent. Most of my fights, I had all of them are mostly like short notice fights, and I never knew my opponent. Never. I just went to the ring and I didn't know who I was fighting. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, this is different. Now this is my first time when I know my opponent, when I know his weaknesses, when I know his strong sides, and I can actually set the strategy and like prepare for the fight fully. So this is so good. I've never felt this strong before, and I mean mentally or physically, or I mean preparation, and whole team is like helping me, and the medical and the other stuff. I mean, when I go back and remember the old times, the way we were like preparing and where we were doing stuff, it's from now, today's views, it's so crazy. Because even I used to cut the weight, I used to cut like 9 kilograms. Just no eating, no drinking, like last 3-4 days, we wouldn't eat, we wouldn't drink, train twice a day. We were like barely walking and putting the weight like that. It's crazy. I mean, but here they have everything like scientifically perfect, and they know when to do what, how many kilograms to cut and stuff. So it's much, much easier. Now I'm cutting pretty easy. I don't even feel that I'm cutting the weight. It's so good.
Nice.
So, I mean, game is totally different.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about Josh Hiryu, your next opponent, in a second. But, you know, one thing, and I wanted to get your take on this, it seems to me, for people who sort of follow the prospect circuit and up-and-coming fighters, it's so hard here in North America to get information, I find, on rising fighters in Europe, Eastern Europe. From your perspective, I mean, and you're a great example, you know, of that. From your perspective, is there just so many fighters in Eastern Europe and Europe that we're just not aware of yet that have the potential to be in the UFC and Bellator, the big shows?
Yes, you're right in some point. I mean, you're asking me if there are, like, for fighters who are potential to fight in the UFC and Bellator. Did I get correctly your question?
Right, just from the perspective that, like, you know, we talked about how it's hard to get fight records on fighters, and I just feel like it's hard to get information on rising fighters. Yeah.
I would say that I know, for example, in my country, let's say there are a couple fighters. I know 100% if they were in the United States and if they train here, they would be top five fighters.
Wow.
I'm like 100% sure about that. Mm-hmm. There was one guy, Shota Gulashvili. He was like naturally talented guy. I mean, he was fighting in 155. He's pro fighter. I'm telling you, he was like super talented person, mm-hmm. super talented. And he never had a coach. He learned everything by himself. And poor family, I was giving him money to come to the training sometimes because he didn't have even money to come to the train. And imagine when you're preparing for the fight and you train hard and you go home and you just eat rice or something and you cannot even recover and stuff like that. And he went and just smashed the guys with that kind of preparation. I really believe if he was in state and if he had the same, same situation I have right now, for example, mm-hmm. he would be top five UFC fighter. Guaranteed. I mean, 100%. There is also another guy, Shalva Mamatashvili. He was a kid. He was 16 years old. He had over 35 fights, no losses.
Wow.
He was crazy. And he just dropped the fighting, and he's just doing something else. I don't know what I think he's working in a security right now. And when I go back and I see these talented people and they don't have the opportunity to compete in overseas or like in a big organization, I feel so sorry because, I mean, there are so many talented, amazing people. Mm-hmm. There is also one guy, Giga Kuhalashvili. I don't know if you know. He's very good. Mm-hmm. He's fighting in MMA in M1 Challenge. He's like a light heavyweight, super talented guy. I mean, I don't know. He would be one of the best knockout artists in UFC if he was here. And he's actually trying to get here in the States, but it's so hard to get even a visa to come here.
Yeah.
Even me, when I tried to come here a couple of years ago, I was rejected twice.
Wow.
They didn't give me a visa twice, and then I said, I'll try with a student visa. And I just, I was lucky. I got a scholarship, 100% scholarship in university, and then they gave me a visa by that. And mainly the reason I came here was the fight, not the school. I didn't care about school at all because I have two master degrees already and I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to come here and fight.
Yeah.
So thank God everything worked well and I'm here and I'm starting fighting and I'm so excited, so hungry. I miss the fighting. I miss all those feelings. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, let's talk about Josh Huber. For people who may not know him, he's a veteran fighter, has almost 35 fights, which is a lot. And what do you know about him, and what's your take on his abilities?
I watched a couple of his fights. I would say he's a very tough fighter. He doesn't know how to back up, back down. I love this. And he's like a true warrior. That motivates me a lot because I love fighters who are like fighting with heart and they don't know how to back up. You know, I love this. It makes me more excited. But to say that his strength, I mean, let's say weaknesses, I would say he's a little bit slow, not explosive, and he's very telegraphic, which will play a good role for me. And I don't know, there are lots of gaps in his game, and I think I'm going to use them for my advantage. But I mean, you never know what's going to happen in a fight. You know, it's a fight you may win for all rounds and just one shot and you may lose. So I can't tell anything about the fight, but he's a very tough fighter and I respect him as a fighter and I'm preparing very, very, very good for him.
And is this fight at 145?
The same thing.
Is this fight at featherweight?
No, this fight is in 135 pounds, bantamweight.
Okay.
So that's another benefit for me because he's a big guy and he will cut a lot of weight, which will play a good side for me. I mean, because physically I'm very strong. Like for my teammates, everybody says that for my weight class I'm like too strong, and even I feel it too because when I wrestle or spar with like even like 200 pound guys, I don't feel their power at all. I mean, I'm just going, even when I compete in BJJ tournaments here in States, I always go, overweight. I mean, and I never had any issue with the power or strength. So I think that's one of the biggest advantage from my side, physical power.
Have you competed at bantamweight? Have you competed at bantamweight for much throughout most of your career?
Sorry?
Have you competed at bantamweight throughout most of your career?
No, actually, no. I was competing in featherweight, and I have just two fights in 135 bantamweight.
Okay.
Just two fights. The other fight was 145. But, I mean, when I came here, my coach asked me, what weight class you want to fight? I said 145. He said, no way. You're too small for 145. You have to fight 125. He said, no, I said, no, I don't want to cut that much. Let's go 135 and I'll fight 135. So if it was my choice, I would fight even 145, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so much discussion these days about, you know, the dangers of cutting too much weight and whether it's beneficial to cut a lot of weight. And it certainly seems like there's a movement back to sort of fighting closer to your natural weight.
Yeah, of course. That when you cut a lot of weight, I mean, it affects your condition, it affects your physical strength, it affects your condition. I mean, how much you can take a shot.
Mm-hmm.
When you cut a lot of weight, like small punch can knock you out, you know, and that plays a big role. And I mean, especially if somebody puts the pressure on you, if you have cut it a lot of weight, it's very hard to recover, and you're just getting tired very easy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you happen to know, Zico, if this fight, LFA Fights cards are broadcast on Access TV Fights? Do you know if your fight's going to be part of the broadcast?
Yeah, as I know, it will be in TV show, my fight too. But I'm not sure, to be honest. But as they told me, it will be in TV live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, sure.
And I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, LFA has sent so many fighters on to the UFC. So you must have been excited when this offer came to you because it's a great organization that's has the TV deal. So was that part of your thinking when you agreed to this fight?
Definitely. I know that the LFA is like kind of bridge to UFC, and I'm sure that if I get like two wins in LFA, it will be very easy for me to get in the UFC.
Is that your main goal, is to go to the UFC? Yeah,
definitely. Maybe I'm gonna. I really want to try. I really want to get the LFA title too before I go to UFC. But who knows? I mean, if there will be a chance to fight in UFC before that, I would love to do it. Of course, maybe there will be like short notice fight or whatever. I will take any chance to get in there, and I think that I have a pretty big chance if I just win two fights. I'm pretty sure I'm there. I'm ready for it.
Just to wrap up, and you mentioned it earlier, but just so in case people missed it, just talk a little bit about your home gym and where you train out of.
Home gym. That's so many good memories from there. Basically, we never had actually in the beginning the gym, actual gym. But then the government was changed, and it was held by government, and they closed it. So we were without gym, and we were training in my university gym. It was just a karate tatami. We had like maybe two punching bags.
Wow.
With the stand inside, and if you punch a little bit hard, you may break your hand. So you had to go very very easy on it. And I mean, basically our coach was YouTube, you know. We used to watch the YouTube videos, let's say Anderson Silva's breakdowns of striking, or Marcelo Garcia, some moves in BJJ, and we used to drill it all the time. And basically, we were training by ourselves back in my country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I see is getting better because there are a lot of people interested in it. Slowly it's growing, and slowly they're like coming new gyms, and I'm happy for it because new generation has the chance and an opportunity to study all these things early, because we didn't have in my country. They are very way back. They're like a couple people who knows let's say Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and they can actually teach people.
Yeah. But
there are not a lot. But I would say that my country has huge potential. I mean, I don't know how if you have the information, the Georgian wrestlers, the judo, freestyle wrestling, they are world-class wrestlers. They are amazing. If you are, let's say, Georgian champion in freestyle wrestling, you are world-class champion. You are world-class wrestler.
Yeah.
They are amazing. I mean, physically, I mean, the Caucasian people, we have, like, I don't know, physically very strong. I know some people there. They are, like, insanely strong. Like, naturally, there is, like, my one fighter in featherweight, Sosun Nijaradze. His walking weight is 150. But, for example, to give you the analogy, when he trains, he can lift, he's, like, warming up with around 130 kilograms.
Wow.
I don't know how much is in the pound. Yeah, imagine, he's just warming up with 130 kilograms. He's insanely strong. I swear, when he grips your hand, you have this feeling that your bones going to break down. I mean, there are such people physically insanely strong.
Yeah.
And I think if somebody will be interested in them and they will put a little bit money in it and just give them the opportunity to just train and compete somewhere else, they can do amazing job. Amazing. They can be amazing fighters.
Last question for you. Do you have a prediction for your fight with Josh?
I think I'm going to finish him in the first round. But to be honest, I really want to fight three rounds fight because I haven't fought for a long time and I just want to feel everything. I want to feel every drop of blood there and I just want to have a long night there. That's what I want. But of course, I will look for a finish in the beginning. So maybe knockout or a submission. The fight will show. Who knows?
Zico Lazzarelli taking on Josh Huber at LFA 78 October 4th. Again, Zico, thanks so much for doing this, and best of luck.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.